Happiness is not something you stumble upon. It's something you build. But here's the truth. No one tells you. Before you can build that life, you have to face what's standing in the way. And more often than not, it isn't fate or bad luck. It's denial. We spend years trying to protect ourselves from discomfort, painting over reality with distractions, justifications, and half-truths. But growth doesn't happen in comfort. It happens in confrontation. Quiet, honest confrontation with what we don't want to see, but desperately need to accept. Because without acceptance, there is no clarity. And without clarity, there can be no peace. This episode is not about sugar-coating life. It's about getting to the core of it. These aren't lessons meant to sound nice. They're truths meant to wake you up. Some will sting. Some will challenge your ego. Some might even make you uncomfortable, but that's the point. Truth is rarely soft, but it's always freeing. And once you stop running from it, everything begins to change. We'll explore 12 harsh truths, not to discourage you, but to empower you, to help you stop waiting, stop blaming, stop pretending, and start living with open eyes and an open heart. Not perfectly, but honestly. Not pain-free, but powerfully. Because a happy life isn't found. It's chosen. And truth is the ground it grows from. 1. You're not that important. It sounds like an insult at first, maybe even a blow to your ego. But what if this truth is actually a relief? We spend so much of our lives consumed by how we're perceived. We replay awkward conversations in our heads. We hesitate to take risks for fear of looking foolish. We live under the constant weight of imagined judgment, believing that the world is watching, critiquing, remembering. But here's the harsh and liberating truth. Most people aren't thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves, their worries, their mistakes, their image. Just like you. And that's not because people are selfish. It's because they're human. We are each the main character in our own minds, navigating a world that feels deeply personal, but is, in truth, largely indifferent. And once you realize this, something powerful happens. You're free. Free from the illusion of constant surveillance. Free from the exhausting need to impress, defend, or explain. Free to be human, flawed, evolving, real. Marcus Aurelius, the emperor who ruled a vast empire yet lived by simple truths, wrote, "You shouldn't give circumstances the power to rouse anger, for they don't care at all." He wasn't being cold, he was being wise. The world doesn't revolve around your mistakes. It doesn't stop spinning when you're embarrassed. Life moves forward, and so should you. But we don't. Because deep down, we want to matter. We want our actions to mean something. And that's valid. But significance doesn't come from being remembered. It comes from living fully. From showing up, not because the world is watching, but because you are. From making peace with the fact that most people will forget what you said, what you wore, or even what you achieved. But you won't forget how you lived. So what if you stopped trying to be impressive and started being intentional? What if you stopped editing your life for a crowd that's not paying attention and started writing it for yourself? This truth isn't meant to diminish you. It's meant to release you. Because when you let go of the need to be important, you become powerful. You become brave enough to fail, bold enough to speak, humble enough to grow. You stop fearing judgment. Not because it doesn't exist, but because it no longer owns you. Ask yourself, how much of your energy goes toward trying to control how others see you? What would your life look like if you redirected that energy inward into becoming someone you respect, regardless of whether others notice? Because here's what matters most. Not that everyone remembers your name, but that you never forget who you are. 2. Not everyone is going to like you. Have you ever twisted yourself into someone else's shape just to be accepted? It starts quietly. Maybe you laugh at a joke you don't find funny. Maybe you stay quiet when something doesn't feel right. Maybe you say yes when your entire body wants to scream no. And at first, it feels harmless. You tell yourself you're being kind, agreeable, understanding. But over time, the cost becomes clear. You're betraying yourself in exchange for approval that doesn't last. The truth is hard, but necessary. Not everyone is going to like you, no matter how kind, thoughtful, generous, or careful you are. There will always be someone who misunderstands, criticizes, or rejects you. And that's not a flaw in you, it's a fact of life. Because people aren't reacting to your essence. They're reacting to their own lens, their own fears, their own stories. And you were never born to manage all of that. Epictetus put it bluntly, "If you want to improve, be content to be thought foolish and stupid. If your growth, your truth, your peace threatens someone else's comfort, they may resist it. They may even resist you. But growth means accepting that. It means being okay with not being everyone's favorite, because you're finally becoming your own." Nietzsche echoed the same truth in different words. The individual has always had to struggle to keep from being overwhelmed by the tribe. There's always a pull, a subtle pressure to conform, to belong, to avoid standing out. But the price of universal approval is often invisibility. You start to disappear behind the expectations of others and call it connection. But that's not love. That's performance. So what's the alternative? Radical honesty. Not the kind that seeks to offend, but the kind that refuses to shrink. The kind that says, "I'd rather be disliked for being real than praised for being fake." And that shift. That's where real confidence is born, not from being liked, but from being seen exactly as you are and knowing that's enough. And here's the beauty of it. When you stop trying to be liked by everyone, you create space for the people who truly see you to come closer. The ones who resonate with your truth, not your performance. The ones who challenge you, love you, and still let you be yourself. So ask yourself, are you shaping your life to be admired or to be lived? Because every time you water yourself down to please the crowd, you step further away from the person you were meant to become. And every time you stand firm in your truth, even if it makes some people uncomfortable, you take one step closer to freedom. Not everyone will like you. That's not rejection. That's reality. And accepting that is the beginning of self-respect. 3. You are not defined by what you have. What happens when the applause fades, the titles vanish, and the possessions no longer impress anyone? In a world that constantly tells you that your value is measured by what you own, how much you earn, or how shiny your life appears from the outside, it's easy to forget who you really are. You begin to equate your worth with your status, your car, your followers, your income. And without noticing, you start building a life that looks successful, but feels hollow. But here's the truth. You are not what you have. You are what you live, what you believe, what you build in the quiet moments when no one's watching. Seneca, a man who had wealth, power, and influence, and yet saw the emptiness in all of it, once wrote, "It is not the man who has too little, but the man who craves more, that is poor." That craving is what we've been conditioned to chase. We collect things, hoping they'll patch the holes inside us. We chase image, hoping it will silence the insecurity. But it never does, because what we're really longing for can't be bought. And that longing, it's for wholeness, for meaning, for the kind of peace that doesn't come from having more, but from needing less. Jung adds a deeper layer to this. The most terrifying thing is to accept oneself completely. Why? Because it means standing in front of your own reflection, stripped of achievements, stripped of labels, stripped of comparison, and asking, am I enough without all the extras? And most people avoid that question their entire lives, because it forces them to face the fear that without the house, the job, the attention, they might be empty. But that fear is a lie, because who you are is not found in your possessions. It's found in your principles, in your integrity, in the way you treat people when there's nothing to gain, in how you speak to yourself when no one else is listening, in the way you show up when life gets hard, not for applause, but because it's the right thing to do. And ironically, when you let go of defining yourself by what you have, you begin to attract the things that truly matter. Respect, real connection, inner peace. Not because you're chasing them, but because you're living in alignment. Think about it. What would your life look like if you no longer needed to impress anyone? If you no longer felt ashamed for not having what others have? If you stopped asking, how much is enough? And started asking, what's worth my energy, my time, my life? That's the shift. That's freedom. So here's your challenge. Take a look at the parts of your identity that are tied to your image. Are they truly you? Or just armor? What would it feel like to put some of that armor down? To stop performing and start being? Because real value isn't loud. It doesn't come with a price tag. It doesn't demand attention. It lives quietly in the choices you make when no one's watching. You are not what you have. You are what you've overcome, what you stand for, and who you choose to become. 4. You always have a choice. How often do you forget that you're free? Not in the political sense, but in the deeply personal, almost invisible sense. The kind of freedom that exists not in your environment, but in your response. Because while you can't always control what happens to you, you always have control over what you do next. That space between what happens and how you respond, that's where your power lives. And most people give it away without even realizing it. It's easy to feel powerless when life gets heavy, when plans fall apart, when someone leaves, when things feel unfair. And in those moments, your mind starts whispering the same lie over and over. I have no choice. But that's not truth. That's fear, dressed up as logic. Because you always have a choice, not over everything, but over something. Your words, your tone, your focus, your next step. Epictetus knew this well. He wrote, "Man is not worried by real problems so much as by his imagined anxieties about real problems." In other words, it's not just the hardship that breaks us, it's the stories we tell ourselves about the hardship. This shouldn't be happening. This always happens to me. I'll never get out of this. But these are interpretations, not facts. They are choices, choices we often make unconsciously. And the beauty of choice is that it can be reclaimed in any moment, in any circumstance. Even when everything feels like it's falling apart, you can ask, what do I still control? What can I choose right now, no matter how small? Carl Jung offered his own reflection. I am not what happened to me. I am what I choose to become. Read that again. Because that is the difference between being a victim of life and being the author of it. Things will happen that you didn't ask for. You will be hurt in ways you didn't deserve. But what you do with that pain, how you integrate it, how you rise from it, how you transform through it, that part is yours. And here's something most people overlook. Indecision is also a choice. Waiting for life to change before you do, that's a choice. choosing to remain silent, to hold back, to let fear guide your actions. All choices. And if you're not careful, your life becomes a reflection of what you didn't do. Not because you weren't capable, but because you forgot that you could. But choice doesn't always feel dramatic. Sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes it's simply choosing to breathe before reacting, choosing to speak truth instead of silence, choosing to walk away from what drains you, even if it's familiar. Choosing to show up, not as who you were yesterday, but as who you could be today. So ask yourself, in the situation that's stressing you most right now, what are you pretending you don't have a choice about? And what would change if you reclaimed that choice? Not all of it, just the first step. Because freedom doesn't always look like escape. Sometimes it looks like responsibility, like presence, like the quiet power of saying, I can't change the world, but I can change this. 5. Your feelings are caused by your thoughts. What if your pain wasn't caused by reality, but by your interpretation of it? It's a difficult truth to face. Because when we're hurt, we want something external to blame. The rude comment, the missed opportunity, the breakup, the failure. We tell ourselves, this is why I feel this way. But if you dig deeper, you'll find that the emotion wasn't born from the event. It was born from the story you told yourself about the event. That's where everything changes. Marcus Aurelius once said, the soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts. You don't see life as it is. You see it through the lens of what you believe. And if that lens is cloudy with fear, insecurity, or resentment, then every experience becomes distorted. You're not feeling what happened. You're feeling what you think it means. And most of the time, that meaning is a reflection of past wounds, not present truth. Think about it. Two people can face the same challenge and feel entirely different emotions. One sees it as a threat. The other sees it as growth. One spirals into anxiety. The other taps into focus. What changed? Not the event, but the thought, the interpretation, the inner dialogue that followed. And this isn't about denying emotions. It's about understanding where they come from. Because once you realize that your thoughts create your feelings, you gain a kind of power most people never tap into. The power to question those thoughts, to interrupt them, to reframe them, to choose a better lens, one that reflects who you want to become, not just who you've been. Let's say you get rejected from a job, a relationship, an opportunity. The default thought might be, I'm not good enough. That thought creates shame. But what if you stopped and asked, is that true? Or is that just my old fear speaking? You could choose a different thought. Maybe that wasn't aligned. Maybe this is redirection. Suddenly, the emotion shifts. Not because the rejection changed, but because your relationship with it did. This is the real work. Not forcing yourself to feel better, but understanding your feelings at the root. Seeing how your mind colors the world, and choosing your palette with more awareness. And here's something else. The brain loves familiarity. It will cling to old stories, even if they hurt you, just because they feel safe. So if you've lived with a narrative like, I'm a failure, your mind will find ways to confirm it, until you consciously decide to challenge it. That's why thought work isn't a one-time fix. It's a daily practice, a discipline, a quiet revolution inside your own head. So the next time you feel overwhelmed, anxious, angry, or defeated, pause. Don't just react. Ask, what thought is behind this feeling? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is there a better one I could believe instead? Because if you want to feel different, you don't have to wait for life to change. You can begin by changing the story. 6. If you don't learn to be accountable, you will be held accountable. Have you ever blamed the world for a life you quietly chose? It's tempting, isn't it, to point outward when things go wrong, to say, they let me down, or life's not fair, or it's just bad luck. But beneath those statements is often a truth we don't want to face, that somewhere along the line, we made a choice, or avoided one, and now we're living with the consequences. Accountability isn't about blame, it's about ownership. The moment you stop waiting for someone else to fix your life, your healing begins. The moment you stop blaming your past, your power returns. Because as long as you see yourself as a victim of circumstance, you remain powerless to change your future. Nietzsche said it clearly. Freedom is the will to be responsible to ourselves. Real freedom doesn't mean doing whatever you want. It means owning the consequences of what you do, without excuses, without projection, without needing someone else to carry the weight of your choices. And here's the hard part. Life will always hold you accountable, eventually. If you avoid facing your habits, your health will. If you avoid owning your relationships, conflict will. If you avoid facing your truth, your inner peace will slowly erode. Life is patient, but it's also honest. What you avoid today becomes the lesson you can't escape tomorrow. But here's the good news. You don't need perfection to be accountable. You need humility. You need courage. And you need the willingness to say, I messed up and I'm ready to do better. That's not weakness. That's strength most people never develop. Because it's easier to blame than to build. But nothing grows in blame. Growth requires light, and that light comes from truth. So ask yourself, what area of your life feels out of control right now? Your finances, your health, your relationships, your self-worth. Then ask, without judgment, how am I contributing to this? What have I been avoiding? What's one thing I can start doing differently today? Accountability doesn't mean self-punishment. It means self-leadership. It's saying, I may not have created all of this, but I'm the only one who can choose what happens next. And once you embrace that, your life starts to shift. Not all at once, not magically, but with every honest choice, every small step, every time you stop running from the mirror and face it instead. Because if you don't choose to be accountable, life will choose for you. 7. People want you to do well, but not better than them. Have you ever noticed how some people cheer for you, only until you start to outgrow them? Support at first feels unconditional. Friends clap for your small wins. Family smiles when you take the first step towards something new. But the moment you begin to rise, not just in dreams, but in results, the energy can shift. What once was encouragement turns into subtle resistance. The jokes become sharper. The silence becomes louder. The support becomes conditional. It's one of the most painful lessons in growth. Not everyone who starts with you will celebrate where you're going. And the reason isn't always malice. Sometimes your progress highlights someone else's stagnation. Your courage reminds them of their fear. Your evolution disrupts the equilibrium. And rather than examine their own resistance, they project it onto you. Seneca wisely said, "As long as you live, keep learning how to live." But that kind of learning, the kind that transforms you, comes with a cost, and often that cost is outgrowing environments, expectations, and even people, not because you're better, but because you've stopped settling. Carl Jung captured this truth through the metaphor of connection. The meeting of two personalities is like the contact of two chemical substances. If there is any reaction, both are transformed. Growth creates tension. And transformation demands that one or both of you change. Some people will rise with you, others will resist your rise, fearing it means losing you, or worse, losing their reflection of themselves through you. And here's the real test. How do you respond? Do you shrink to make others comfortable? Do you downplay your progress to maintain connection? Do you sabotage your success just to stay in harmony? These choices might feel like love, but they're quiet betrayals. Because each time you limit yourself for the sake of someone else's ego, you abandon the person you're becoming. True support doesn't flinch at your growth. It doesn't compete, compare, or control. It encourages your evolution, even if it means growing apart. And while that kind of support is rare, it's worth seeking. And, more importantly, it's worth giving. Because when you truly want others to rise, you stop seeing their success as your threat. So how do you protect your growth? By being honest about who you are becoming and who is no longer aligned with that path. Not in bitterness, not in judgment, but in clarity. By surrounding yourself with people who aren't afraid of your light. By letting go of dynamics that only work when you're playing small. And by learning to clap for yourself, even when others go quiet. Ask yourself, are you dimming your light to keep people close? Are you confusing comfort with loyalty? Are you avoiding growth because you're afraid of growing alone? Because the truth is, you might outgrow some people, but you will never outgrow yourself. And the more you honor that, the more you attract people who don't just tolerate your growth. They inspire it. 8. There is no perfect time to do anything. How long have you been waiting? Waiting for the right moment, the right energy, the right plan, the right version of yourself. You tell yourself, I just need a little more time, or once I figure things out, or maybe when I feel more ready. But the hard truth is, that perfect moment doesn't exist. It never has. And the longer you wait for it, the more life passes you by in quiet, comfortable hesitation. Perfection is a moving target, and most of the time, it's just fear in disguise. Because if you can convince yourself that you're not ready, you don't have to risk failing. You don't have to face uncertainty. You don't have to take responsibility. But every dream, every goal, every version of you that's waiting to be born lives on the other side of action, not contemplation. Epictetus asked a question that should shake anyone out of stagnation. How long are you going to wait before you demand the best for yourself? It's not a motivational quote. It's a challenge. How long will you keep putting off the life you want to live, pretending the delay is strategy, when really, it's avoidance? Think about this. The version of you that will feel completely ready to start that business, write that book, have that conversation, change that habit, doesn't exist. Because confidence doesn't come before action. It comes from action. You don't become brave and then take the leap. You take the leap. And that's how you become brave. We wait for clarity, forgetting that clarity comes through movement. We wait for signs, not realizing the act of starting often is the sign. It's in the messy beginnings, the imperfect first steps, the uncertain progress, that the path reveals itself. And yes, you'll make mistakes. You'll doubt yourself. You'll want to quit. But you'll also learn, adapt, and grow in ways you never could by standing still. That's the gift of beginning. It doesn't guarantee success. It guarantees transformation. So ask yourself, what have you been putting off until the conditions are just right? And who could you become if you stopped waiting and started doing? Because time isn't waiting for you. Life isn't pausing. And the more you delay, the more regret quietly builds. not because you failed, but because you never gave yourself the chance to succeed. There is no perfect time. There is only now, and now is always the most honest place to begin. 9. Someone always has it better or worse than you. Have you ever felt proud of yourself, only to have that pride vanish the moment you looked sideways? Maybe you finished a big project, or started taking better care of yourself, or simply had a peaceful day, and for a moment you felt whole, content, aligned. But then you opened your phone. You saw someone with a bigger house, a better body, a faster timeline, someone younger doing more, someone older with fewer scars, and suddenly that quiet sense of fulfillment, gone, replaced by doubt, insecurity, a whisper that says, you should be further ahead by now. But here's the harsh truth that most of us learn late, if at all. Someone will always have it better than you, and someone will always have it worse. If you anchor your peace to your place in a hierarchy, your joy will always be fragile. Because the ladder never ends. The metrics keep changing. And no matter how high you climb, someone else will always be higher. Marcus Aurelius warned us not to waste time thinking about what a good person is, but instead to be one. That advice becomes vital in the age of endless comparison. Because comparison isn't just a distraction, it's a distortion. It pulls you out of your lane and into someone else's, making you forget what you were building and why. And comparison is rarely about truth. It's about illusion. You see someone else's curated highlight, the part of their life polished for display, and you compare it to your rawest moments, their filtered smile against your private struggle, their polished version against your work in progress. But here's what you don't see: the anxiety behind their achievement, the loneliness behind their beauty, the pressure behind their perfection. You forget that behind every better life you see is a whole person, flawed, insecure, unsure, just like you. And when it comes to those who have it worse, the truth is, using someone else's suffering to justify your own comfort is just another way of avoiding self-honesty. Yes, gratitude matters. Yes, perspective is powerful. But your pain doesn't need to be compared to anyone else's to be valid. You don't need to be at rock bottom to deserve growth. And you don't need to be at the top to deserve rest. So what's the alternative? Start measuring your life against you. Not who you wish you were, but who you were. Are you more patient than you were a year ago? More disciplined than you were last month? More honest than you were yesterday? That's progress. That's growth. That's the only comparison that creates peace instead of destroying it. Ask yourself, when was the last time I looked at my own life with appreciation, not judgment? When was the last time I saw myself clearly without the filter of someone else's success? Because comparison will always exist, but its power over you. That's optional. The moment you stop trying to keep up, you start catching up to your own potential. You don't need to be better than anyone. You just need to be deeply, unapologetically yourself. And that is always enough. 10. Fear will keep you from living. What would your life look like if fear had never interrupted it? Think about it. All the things you didn't say, the paths you didn't take, the dreams you kept tucked in the back of your mind, not because they weren't possible, but because you were afraid, afraid to fail, afraid to look foolish, afraid to lose something safe in the pursuit of something uncertain. But here's the truth that most people run from. Fear doesn't stop bad things from happening. It just stops you from living. Seneca said it with piercing clarity. We suffer more often in imagination than in reality, and it's true. Fear creates movies in your mind, vivid, convincing, full of disaster. And while you sit in the theater of those what-ifs, real life passes by outside the door. You miss the moments, you delay the growth, you shrink yourself until you fit inside a version of life that feels safe, but slowly suffocates your potential. But fear, when faced, transforms. Because fear is often not a warning, it's a signal. It points toward what matters. You're not afraid of things that don't touch something deep in you. If you fear being seen, it's likely because you deeply want to be known. If you fear failure, it's because success actually means something to you. Fear doesn't lie, but it doesn't always tell the whole truth either. And unless you challenge it, it becomes your compass. Nietzsche offered a different way forward. He who has a why to live can bear almost any how. And maybe that's the secret. Fear loses its grip when you remember your why. When the purpose becomes louder than the panic. When your vision becomes clearer than your hesitation. Because courage is not the absence of fear. It's acting despite it. It's walking forward with your knees shaking and your heart pounding. Because staying stuck is no longer an option. So how do you begin? You start small. You do the thing that scares you, even if you stumble. You speak up, even if your voice trembles. You make the call, write the message, take the first step, even if your hands are cold with doubt. Because with every action you prove to yourself that fear is not fatal. That failure won't destroy you. That discomfort won't last forever. But regret lingers. And this is what most people don't realize. The more you obey fear, the stronger it becomes. It grows each time you let it dictate your choices. But the moment you stop running from it, the moment you stare it down, it begins to shrink. Slowly, quietly, consistently. So ask yourself, what part of my life has been quietly ruled by fear? What have I avoided, postponed, or hidden from? Not because I couldn't do it, but because I was afraid to try. And then ask, what would my life look like if I stopped waiting for fear to go away and started moving anyway? Because fear may always walk beside you, but it doesn't get to drive. Not anymore. 11. Your expectations are what cause disappointment. How much pain in your life has come not from what actually happened, but from what you thought should have happened? We all carry a silent script, an idea of how things are supposed to go, how people are supposed to treat us, how our plans are supposed to unfold. And when reality doesn't follow that script, we suffer. Not because life failed us, but because we projected an illusion onto it, and then called that illusion truth. Disappointment doesn't come from the world. It comes from your expectations of it. When someone doesn't meet your standards, when a goal takes longer than you hoped, when a relationship ends before you were ready, it feels like betrayal. But often, what's really happening is a misalignment between what is and what you demanded it to be. Epictetus put it clearly. It's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters. And reaction is deeply shaped by expectation. If you expect life to be fair, you'll feel bitterness. If you expect people to never let you down, you'll feel abandoned. If you expect every effort to bring instant success, you'll feel defeated. But if you expect reality to be real, messy, unpredictable, human, then you create space for compassion, for adjustment, for growth. Expectations often come disguised as hope, but they are not the same. Hope is flexible. Expectation is rigid. Hope says, I'd love for this to happen, but I'll adapt if it doesn't. Expectation says, this must happen, or else. And the or else is often pain, resentment, blame, and disillusionment. So how do you break free? By replacing expectation with intention, by showing up fully, doing your best, giving your all, and releasing the need to control the outcome. It's not about becoming passive, it's about becoming peaceful. You can aim high without demanding that the world conform to your plan. You can love people without needing them to behave exactly as you want. You can dream boldly while accepting that the road may twist in ways you didn't anticipate. This is the Stoic way: to act with discipline and virtue and then let go. Not to stop caring, but to stop clinging. So ask yourself, where am I holding on too tightly? Where have I confused hope with entitlement? Where am I suffering, not because of what is, but because of what I expected it to be? When you release the need for life to obey your rules, you don't lose power. You gain peace. You begin to see clearly. You begin to respond instead of react. And in that space, life becomes softer, more spacious, more alive. Because the less you expect, the more you can truly experience. 12. You live the life you create for yourself. What if the life you're living right now, every habit, every relationship, every routine, is the exact result of what you've allowed, chosen, and repeated? It's a hard truth to swallow, because we're taught to believe that life just happens to us, that our circumstances are inherited, that our problems are external, that our suffering is the result of what others did or didn't do. But eventually, there comes a moment, a quiet, undeniable reckoning, when you realize your life is yours, and you are not just living it, you are creating it, moment by moment. That doesn't mean everything is your fault. Life brings injustice, trauma, pain that you never asked for. But what you do next, how you interpret, respond, rise and rebuild, that part is entirely yours. And no one can do it for you. Carl Jung captured it with poetic force. Your vision will become clear only when you look into your heart. Who looks outside, dreams. Who looks inside, awakes. We spend so much time looking outward for answers, approval, direction. But the real shift happens when you turn inward and ask, what am I building here and why? Victimhood is a comfortable trap. It gives you a story to lean on, a reason to stay stuck, a way to explain away your lack of change. But it also steals your agency, because as long as your life is someone else's responsibility, you remain powerless to shape it. But you are not powerless. In fact, you are shaping your life right now, with the thoughts you think, the words you speak, the boundaries you set or fail to set, the choices you make every single day. The question isn't whether you're creating your life. The question is, what kind of life are you creating? Is it based on fear or intention, avoidance or vision, reaction or responsibility? You don't need to have it all figured out to begin creating differently. You just need to get honest, start small, make one choice today that aligns with the life you say you want. One shift, one step. Because that's how real change happens. Not through massive leaps, but through repeated alignment. So ask yourself, if I woke up tomorrow with a completely blank slate, no expectations, no guilt, no fear, what kind of life would I begin building? And what's stopping me from starting today? You're not stuck. You're just repeating. And once you realize that, you can choose differently. You can shape a life that reflects your values. You can let go of the roles that no longer fit. You can say no to what drains you and yes to what lights you up. You can stop dreaming of a better life and start creating one, from the inside out. Because at the end of the day, your life is not something you find, it's something you build, and it begins, always, with a choice. So now you've heard them, 12 truths that don't flatter your ego, but free your mind. They don't comfort you with softness, but they give you something far more valuable, clarity. And in that clarity, a door opens. Because once you stop resisting the truth, you can start working with it, living with it, becoming someone who doesn't just survive life, but shapes it step by step from the inside out. These truths are not meant to discourage you. They're meant to liberate you from the lies that have held you back, the lie that everyone's watching, the lie that you need to be liked by all, the lie that you'll finally be enough once you have more, do more, become more. You've never needed to become someone else. You've only needed to become fully you. And yes, the truth can be harsh, but it's also healing. Because once you face what's real, you stop building your life on sand. You stop waiting for permission. You stop living a second-hand version of who you were meant to be. The Stoics knew this. Jung knew this. Nietzsche knew this. That happiness isn't found in fantasy. It's found in facing reality and still choosing to live with purpose, with strength, and with intention. So take these truths. Let them sit with you. Let them unsettle what needs to be undone. And then let them guide you into the version of life that doesn't just look good, but feels right. Not because it's easy, but because it's real. And if this episode gave you something to reflect on, something that challenged you, helped you see clearer, or made you feel less alone, then consider subscribing, sharing it with someone who's ready to hear it, and letting us know which truth hit you hardest. Remember this, you don't need to be perfect. You just need to be honest. And once you are, life begins.